Well, good morning, everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. How's everybody doing today? Good, good. Well, if you were here last week for the first time, you're probably looking around and you're thinking, all right, where's the hidden camera, right? You know, am I being punked? That crazy guy with the spiked hair was leading worship last week and some other guy was preaching, and now this little Jamaican girl was leading worship and the spiked hair guy is preaching. Well, I promise you're not on candid camera, you're not being punked or whatever else people are doing to each other on YouTube these days. It's just my turn to speak. My name is Pastor Adam, and I'm the worship pastor here at GoTo Church, and I asked Diana to lead worship for us today. Didn't she and the team do a great job this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, before I get started today, I want to invite you to come out and join us for a really great outreach opportunity that we have coming up tomorrow. Now, it's going to be hot. Do you agree? It's already been hot. It's going to be hot tomorrow while people are gathering out to watch the fireworks that are going to be shooting over Tom Brown Park. And while we can't get into the park to do what we would like to do, we can be in an area where there are a lot of people around. So there's a shopping center right at the corner of Park Avenue and Capitol Circle. You guys know where I'm talking about. Got the China Buffet, and there's an AutoZone and a few other things there. A bunch of people who are going to be hot, thirsty, looking for water, and we're going to give it to them. Now, I want you to join me about 6 o'clock. Look for a tent with the GoTo Church banner. Oh, I put 5 o'clock on the screen there, didn't I? 6 o'clock. Be there at 6. And look for the tent with the GoTo Church banner on it. We're going to have bottles of water, ice down, and ready to go, and ready to hand out. We're going to walk around and give them away till we run out of them. I got 500 water bottles, so I'm expecting a lot of people out there, okay? Now, there's no pressure, no tracks or anything like that that's real difficult. Matter of fact, let me show you just how hard this is going to be. I want you to repeat after me. You ready? We want you to know that Jesus loves you, and so do we. And see, you all just qualified. You're now missionaries. So that's what I want you to do. Come on out about 6 o'clock tomorrow and join us and stick around and watch the fireworks about 9:45. Let's tell some people about GoTo Church. Okay, let me give you a little background on myself. You see, my wife and I are both preacher's kids, and you know what they say about preacher's kids. They're always well-behaved, and they never do anything wrong. That's not what they say, is it? So, well, my wife actually was that kid. I'm not going to say which one I was, okay? What I want to say about us both being preacher's kids is you would think that because of that, I'd have lots of preacher training. Well, I don't. The thing I know how to do best was how to tell my dad something sounded really dumb from the pulpit on the way home from church. So now you all know what I have to look forward to on my way home today because I got them in spades. So anyway, did everybody get a handout today who wanted one? If you didn't get one of our note sheets this morning and you would like one, just raise your hand and our awesome usher team is going to make sure that you get one. Somebody who is still in here, there we go. They're going to grab those. Just keep your hand up. They'll get them to you real quick. I know we've already prayed a few times today, but let's go ahead and pray one more time as we start to look at God's word. Lord, you are so awesome. You give us all these great things to worship and praise your name with, and you have put a wonderful group of people here today to fellowship together and to enjoy being together. God, I thank you for all that you are, all that you are doing today. Father, right now I'll ask that you anoint my words, and if I say anything you didn't want me to say, just shut it down. Let my words be yours today, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, since today is the day before Independence Day, you probably guessed when you came in that we were going to talk about declaring your independence. There's probably 100 churches in Tallahassee with a similar title for their sermon today. Can I get a good amen on that? Amen. I mean, I'm not making any claims on being original, but what I am claiming today is that there is freedom for you today. Let's turn in our Bibles, or if you're like me, turn on your digital Bible or on your iPad or your tablet and go to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 14. If you didn't bring a Bible today, there's some right in the seats in front of you. Those blue books or NIV Bible. Be sure and keep your spot at Romans 6 when you get there because we won't stray too very far from that location. All right, digital Bible people, we're going to be in the New International Version. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, and let's read it together. Read this out loud with me. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. Now listen to that again. For sin shall no longer be your master. Now that sounds to me like there's some freedom to be gained. some independence to be declared here. Right here in this verse of Scripture, and right here today, some of you are beginning to think that I'm getting a little off track, but I want you to look at something with me. In the physical world, we have a document that is the embodiment of what we need to do spiritually. It's the Declaration of Independence, and we're all familiar with that. The part we hear the most often is this one. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now that's the most quoted portion of the Declaration of Independence, especially as we hear one group or another talk about equality. It's actually known around the world as the greatest statement on human rights ever made. But I want you to listen to another portion of the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to read this document from the very beginning, and we're going to go through the part that we're all most familiar with. Now listen to this as I read. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Wow. Just wow. People don't talk like that anymore, do they? Did you know it is politically incorrect to read what I just did in many schools in America today? How far have we fallen from our founding? Okay, I admit I'm going to go off the main topic for just a little bit here. This country was founded on Christian principles, no matter what you may have heard from so-called knowledgeable individuals, whether in college or on Facebook. In fact, in a decision in 1892, the United States Supreme Court itself declared that we are a Christian nation. Right here in this document, the Declaration of Independence, there are four strongly Christian principles mentioned. The first one, rights come from God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, Jehoshaphat was anointing and appointing judges, and it says he told them, "Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging mere mortals, but for the Lord who is with you whenever you give a verdict." Rights are given by God, and authorities on this earth should be careful as they administer those rights. Now, I'm not going to leave this part too quickly. Let's go to Romans chapter 13, and just verse 1, because we're going to look at verse 2 and beyond later on as we look at my other points. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." So there is no authority except that which God has established. God established the authority, so that must mean that God established the rights that that authority is in place to protect. So hang on a minute. If God established the authority, then what responsibility do those he placed in that position of authority have? All right, number two, the purpose of civil government is to secure those rights. Let's continue in Romans chapter 13 for just a minute, but look down at verse 4. Now hang on to this. Here we go. "For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." Now the ones in authority are whose servants? That's right, they're God's servants. By the way, when you have some time this week, go take a look at Deuteronomy 17. It's a long chapter, and I'm not going to go into all that, but you'll learn that the king, or in our case, the government, is to learn to revere the Lord and follow his laws and decrees. But it's also not our job to post on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter some demeaning mess about how they're supposed to do all that. What it is your job to do is to get involved, to vote, whether you like who's running or not, or maybe to run for office yourself. All right, number three, the power of civil government is given by consent of the governed, each of whom is fully entitled to rule. By the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, you'll see that the king was to be chosen by the people, much like our president and Congress is chosen. And also, remember that in the New Testament, it says that we are priests and kings. Do you remember that? And so next time your little boy or girl or somebody, some little kid comes up to you and says, I'm going to be president, you can just say, the Bible tells you so, baby. All right, number four. The right to govern is forfeited by a tyrant and is given to lower civil magistrates in order to restore the rule of law. Now, that's a lot of words, so let me explain it this way. You guys know who John Calvin is, right? You know, Calvinism. And I'm not a Calvinist by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe that John Calvin was a great student of the Word of God, and we should pay attention to what he had to say. Now, John Calvin said in his book, Institutes of Christian Religion, that while Romans 13 denies the individual Christian the right to take up the sword against a lawless civil ruler, it does not prohibit a lower civil magistrate of the people. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's basically an organized authority. So let's look at it in a way that we can understand. Let's say, for instance, that the President of the United States somehow becomes a dictator. Now, I know that's impossible under our system, but let's imagine, if we will. So the lower civil magistrate would be the state of Florida, or the state of Texas, or the state of Mississippi, where I'm originally from, or Tennessee, or wherever. That's the lower civil magistrate that would, how we properly make a change and straighten things out. Romans 12, 18, by the way, says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Well, guess what? Sometimes it ain't possible. I'm sorry, it just is. There's a proper way to do things, though. Can I tell you that throwing rotten food in beer bottles and knocking over police cars and setting them on fire is not the way to do that? God has an order for things. The American Revolution itself was not started with a gunshot. It was started with a letter-writing campaign. They respectfully requested the freedoms that were desired. The British government escalated that, and you'll see throughout history that established governments are usually the ones that escalate something into a fight and not the people who are looking for freedom. Now, I could spend a lot of time here and continue to chase this rabbit on American history and really get your head spinning today, but that is not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about something that is going to last much longer than the United States or even history itself. I am here to talk today about your eternity. We need to declare our spiritual independence today. So how do we do that? Well, first, we've got to dissolve the bands that have connected us to sin. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6 and look at the last part of verse 2. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We've died to sin. Now, as a father of 14 kids, I've heard this a few times than most people. Somebody didn't get that. Okay, I have 14 kids. We're all on the same page. Yes, I have a lot of children, so yes, I'm going to get that. Hey, Dad, that sounded stupid on the way home. So, okay, so how many of you in here either have kids of your own or you've helped take care of a newborn baby? Not just a young child, but a newborn. Okay, so some of you guys are going to remember this, but for those that haven't experienced it, I'm going to gently describe something for you, how your belly button comes to be. See, there's an umbilical cord that attaches to you when you're inside your mama, and when you come out, that thing's not needed anymore. So the doctor or somebody in place there cuts that cord, but there's still a piece of it on you. That's kind of gross when you think about it. You got to get that thing off of you. It's dead. And you know what it does? It gets hard, and it gets crusty, and it falls off eventually if it's taken care of like it should be. But if it's not taken care of, guess what happens? It gets infected. And, well, I'm not going to go into all that and ruin your lunch plans. So just listen to me now. We have died to sin. Just like that piece of umbilical cord, we have to get rid of that old stuff. Now look at verses 6 and 7 in Romans chapter 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying here? This stuff is old and it's dead and you've got to dissolve the bands. Quit hanging on to it. Okay, let's identify what we need to be free from. You ready? Here we go. First, we need to be free from bondage. And no, I'm not talking about that Mr. Gray will see you now stuff. Another way we talk about bondage is spiritual baggage. So it's time to let that stuff go. That bad relationship that you were in before or are in now. Those mistakes that you made back in high school or grade school somewhere. All the times that somebody told you you weren't good enough or handsome enough or pretty enough. Let it go. Okay, next we need to be free from condemnation. Now, what is condemnation? Well, in this case, we're going to go back to the Bible to define this again. Let's go just a few chapters forward to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now, I know you guys have heard all this kind of stuff before, but look at this with me anyway. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So what does condemnation mean here? Well, in this passage, the word condemnation is katakrima. Now, that's not Krispy Kreme, that's katakrima. That's the word that's used for punishment after guilt has already been established. So we're not talking about something that you didn't do. This is stuff that you know you did wrong, but Jesus made you free. And because he made you free, you can't keep holding on to it. Amen? He has made you not guilty, and it's time to let it go. Let it go. Don't make me sing it to you now. With eight girls in my house, we have a lot of musical improv from the movie Frozen, all right? Okay, third, we need to be free from sin. You know, we got a pretty garbage excuse sometimes to continue in sin. We say, well, I'm only human. That's a lie, folks. You are not only human. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, said, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Now, that's good stuff. But wait, there's more. It is immortals with whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Being human is not an excuse to continue in sin. Let's back up to the end of chapter 5 in Romans, and we're going to get a running start at chapter 6. Turn with me to Romans 5. We're going to start in verse 20. I told you we'd stay pretty close to Romans 6 today. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and we're going to go all the way through Romans 6, verse 2. Here we go. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Come on, people. It's time to live like we are supposed to live, free from sin. It's not just being human. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's a choice. Now, some of you are clapping and you're having a good time, and some of you are looking at me like I have lost my mind. Let me ask you the big question that's from the group I've been leading on Sunday nights. It's called the Truth Project. Do you believe that what you believe is really real? Let me read that again. Read it right this time. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? If you believe this word is true, paper, onion skin, or digital, leather bound, or plastic case, you have to believe that if we are dead to sin, how can we live it any longer? The answer is, you don't have to.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so I know you're with me so far. We're free from bondage, free from or baggage, free from condemnation, and free from sin. Okay, let's move ahead. Why did Jesus make us free? You know this, but you may not think you know this. Why did Jesus make us free? That's right. Somebody said it. For freedom. Go to Galatians 5:1. They put it at the end of the video up here. Ready? I want you to read this out loud from the screens with me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. If Christ has set you free, don't you turn around and run back into those burdens and baggage. You might not think this is a new thing, but it's really not. Do you remember the story of the Exodus? God performed an amazing miracle. I mean, come on, depending on who you ask, either God stood the waters up on end and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground, or he drowned Pharaoh's army in 3 feet of water. Either way, we got a miracle on our hands. But it wasn't very long before they were painting pictures of Egypt. They were ready to go back. It was comfortable. We've been doing this kind of thing since there was humankind. Think about this. God performed an amazing thing for us by giving us Jesus as the name to go directly to Him through. There is power in our prayers. There's power to change things. But when's the last time you took to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram to rip somebody you didn't even know? We say stuff online we wouldn't dare say in person. When's the last time you prayed for somebody instead of believing what you read in the news about them or on some website about them? Okay, I'm going to stop at gossip. I'm sure we could visit every one of the seven deadly sins today, but I think you're getting the idea here, okay? If Jesus set us free, we need to maintain that freedom. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 2 again. That last part of the verse, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, he answers his own question a few verses down in verse 12. Take a look at that with me. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't let sin rule over you. But if you think this is something you can do on your own, well, you got another thing coming. You can't do this by yourself. You ready for the big secret? The big reveal today? If you want to declare your spiritual independence from bondage, condemnation, and sin, you have to declare your dependence on God. Jump backwards a few chapters to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. You evangelists in the house, you know where I'm going here. Romans 3, 23 and 24. Now listen to this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We didn't do this ourselves. We didn't get here on our own. Our freedom came through Jesus Christ. We have to declare our dependence on God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, it's time to declare your spiritual independence by declaring your dependence on God. Everybody taking notes so far? Got all that written down? Okay, I want you to put your papers down for just a minute and listen to me. I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, a libertarian, or a vegetarian. Your spiritual independence has nothing to do with who is in office. Obama, Clinton, Trump, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, they are not responsible for your spiritual freedom. Politics has got nothing to do with this. My brother in California made a powerful statement when I heard him speak several months ago. And just in case he's listening to the podcast today, I want to make sure I give him credit. So this is what he said, and it really shook me. It rocked me. Sometimes we have to take the flag off of the cross so we can remember what it looks like. And I am just as guilty as most. Forgive me, this ministers to me as much as it does to you this morning, so. All right, let me tell you what being dependent on God is like. It is not being weak. It's more like this. We ain't much, baby, but God has got our back. Live in the power of knowing that God is in control. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Okay, now you can pick your notes back up, and if you haven't taken any notes up to this point, this is where you need to write some stuff down. The handouts have got space for this as well. So here we go. You need to declare your independence from bondage or spiritual baggage. Ask God to show you today what you need to be free from, and then be quiet and listen. Remember that commercial? It says, when you want someone to listen to you, whisper. So I'm whispering. Listen to Him. Now, there's a spiritual and a practical component to these last points. Spiritual, we just talked about. We're going to pray for revelation. But let me tell you, your friends know. The practical part of this is this. Find a trusted counselor. We all have at least one person in our lives who we trust enough to say, you need to fix this. It may be a friend or a parent or a spouse. It may be somebody you don't even like because they tell you the truth all the time. But find that person and ask them to help you today. All right, number two, you need to declare your independence from condemnation. Now, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction, So be sure to listen to the Holy Spirit to guide you on that. Not just your conscience, but the Holy Spirit. But stop listening to the lies. You have moved past your past. Let it go. Our spiritual component here is to ask for the peace that passes understanding, like the scripture talks about. Let it reign in your heart. The practical part, change something in your life. Start listening to different music. Stop going to the places that you normally go that don't help you keep on track. Some of you are going to walk out of here today, get in your car, and on the radio is going to be a station where the only time the name God is used, there's another word after it with four letters and starts with a D. Now, I'm not condemning secular music today. Come on, my ringtone for my wife is Boston's More Than a Feeling. All right? But if it keeps you from focusing on the Lord, cut it out. You men, I can talk to you because I are one. Here's your example. If you work out at the gym and there's a girl that catches your eye more than she should, even if you're not married, by the way, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes to not look lustfully on a maiden. So even if you're single, she catches your attention more than she should, go join another gym. There's a lot of them in Tallahassee. You might have to drive across town or find another time to work out. All of you, if you listen to audiobooks, try listening to a sermon podcast instead. And it doesn't have to be this one, by the way. Change some things in your life and get a godly positive influence. Okay, number three today, you need to declare your independence from sin. We are free from the law of sin and death. And I know that sounds crazy, but we are free. I am free. Say that with me. I am free. Now, for some of you here today, that was a hollow sound coming out of your mouth. You said it, but you can't mean it because you've never been set free to begin with. You've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Today is your day. The spiritual part of this declaration is this. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Now listen, don't start putting your stuff away yet. Just everybody be really still and listen to me. Some of you have listened to this today, and right now you know there is no way you can do this on your own. You're probably out there thinking, when you leave today, how much harder it's going to be now that you know that there's freedom available, but you just can't get there. Or you may be thinking, Pastor Adam, I want to do all that, but I just don't know how. Well, I'm going to help you with that. The musicians are going to come back to the stage, and the rest of you, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Musicians are coming, vocalists are coming, and everybody bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a minute. Nobody looking around. This is between you and God. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I want you to just listen. Jesus is calling you out today to a life of independence from sin and death and to a life of dependence on Him. If He is not Savior and Lord of your life today, I especially want you to pray this prayer with me. But I want everyone here to pray this out loud right now. Pray this out loud with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. And I am now willing to turn from my sin. Right now, I confess Jesus as Lord. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me eternal life. Amen. All right, saints, let's praise God for the ones that have been changed today. All right, guys, the practical part for this one is time to take a stand and declare your dependence on God. If you prayed that prayer today and made a decision to follow Christ, our pastors are going to come up here, and I've got some other godly people that I trust down front, and they're going to pray with you and answer any questions that you have. So right now, I want everybody to stand. And right now, if you made a decision today to ask Jesus as your Savior, I want you to come on down right now so that we can celebrate with you. Come on to these folks at the front. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior today, just come on. Let's pray together as we declare some freedom, okay? Father God, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And together we ask for the Holy Spirit to be our guide as we declare our independence from bondage, from condemnation, and from sin. Father, lead us down the right road. Give us your words, and we confess today that we cannot do this on our own. We need your power and your grace to be free. So, Lord, today we declare that we are dependent on you and you only. Thank you today for the freedom that was paid for on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise God for our freedom today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.